A new report from the New Zealand Initiative is calling for a reform of NCEA because it's failing too many students, especially those from disadvantaged backgrounds. The think tank says too many young people are taking an easy path through qualifications, leaving school without the necessary skills. And the report outlines that since the early 2000s, the country's 15-year-olds' reading and math skills have declined, even as NCEA pass rates have risen dramatically. Meanwhile, internal assessments are creating too much work for teachers. The think tank says reinstating a core curriculum that all students must master is crucial. This comes as the Education Minister, Chris Hipkins, has recently announced the terms of reference for a statutory review. In the Wellington studio is Briar Lipson, the report's author and a former deputy principal and math teacher in the UK. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
Well, your voices are being added to lots of others across the education spectrum that reform is needed of NCEA. And you make the point in the report that the original purpose of the NCEA has been somewhat diverted. How do you characterise that?
So nobody sat down and designed the system we have today. NCEA really was born out of discontent with the old system, which was dominated by selection for university and placed an arbitrary cap on success. And so it was NCEA was introduced with the very, very best intentions to make schooling more inclusive, more flexible and responsive to students' needs. And, you know, sure enough, more students nowadays achieve NCEA success. I mean, between 2004 and 2016, the pass rate for NCEA at level 2 increased from 61% of school leavers to 80%. That's a huge increase.
And actually, some of it, on the face of it, is welcomed. We knew that Māori boys were leaving school, about 50% of them, with no qualification at all. So on the face of it, that's a great result. However, when you look at some of the other measures, whether it's the international studies or whether, in fact, it's the Tertiary Education Commission's own report back in 2014, what are we learning about the performance of those senior school students in core competencies?
Exactly. What we're learning is that, unfortunately, in too many cases, an NCEA certificate is not the same as a basic education. So that 2014 research found that amongst Year 12 students who'd got Level 2, 40% of them were functionally illiterate, and 42% of them functionally innumerate. That is crazy that 4 in 10 students churned out by our school system are not able to do the basics in reading, writing and maths. And I mean, ultimately, it's a question of expectations. And there are schools in New Zealand and all other parts of the world where all students, no matter what disadvantage they bring with them from home, learn to be functionally literate and numerate. It really is the tiniest minority of students with the most severe educational needs who won't be able to achieve that. And until we have a national assessment that demands it and communicates that high expectation, we shouldn't sit around scratching our heads wondering why our standards are dropping in international tests.
You also point out that while the gap has narrowed between those succeeding and those not in NCEA, while the gap has narrowed over those years, at the UE level benchmark, it's widened again. Is that right?
So what's happened is that the NCEA gap has narrowed. So the gap between Māori, Pacifica and all students achieving NCEA, even at level 3, has narrowed, which feels like, sounds like a good story. But then, if you look at the more meaningful benchmark of university entrance, we've actually seen as a widening of that gap. So between 2001 and 2016, the gap between Māori and all students achieving university entrance has gone from 19 to 23 percentage points.
Why do you say that's the more meaningful benchmark, remembering that this system was about measuring skills and capabilities and personal sets of skills and capabilities that might be useful for whatever the person's future was going to be? Why are you targeting UE?
Well, that's a great question because, of course, university is not for everybody, and we are certainly not saying that that should be the aim for everybody, but that should be a choice for as many students as possible. We quote in the report work done by the Star Path Project at University of Auckland, who have worked with schools in South Auckland and Northland, and find that so often students get to level 3 and they think, you know, actually, I've changed my mind and I fancy going to university, and yet the choices no longer in their hands. They've made the wrong choices.
Should we necessarily be blaming NCEA, for that matter, for some of what we're finding with the international comparisons and slipping back on some of the basics, including maths? Because there's other research done by Eero, which is pointing to the last years of primary school being a point at which confidence and competence is plateauing in students in some of those core subjects. So should we necessarily be pointing at NCEA and saying this, therefore this?
I'm certainly not saying that the only solution is reform of NCEA, but I believe that these are really basic requirements in literacy and maths. And if secondary schools started to have to make sure all students achieved in those core areas, then immediately they would begin to start putting more pressure on primary schools, and we could start having a much more evidence-based discussion about what works in primary schools.
Where your research does dovetail, particularly with a number of others across the spectrum, is this so-called motivation gap. And we have heard anecdotally, and I'd like to know how you've got any further than anecdotally, teachers saying students do not want to have a conversation unless it is going to be assessed. If you go into an interesting conversation about something, they go, is this for my assessment or not? Have you found evidence, and therefore tell me about it, of it becoming a question of navigating a system rather than learning?
Absolutely. And we're delighted that Minister Hipkins has identified this as one of the core requirements for this year's NCEA review. So he recognises that we've ended up with a system that's driven by assessment rather than by the curriculum. And Chapter 4 of the report goes into detail about assessment design. And I identify three particular design features of NCEA which exacerbate what we call teaching to the test. Teaching to the test was around 100 years ago.
It's in the UK now, isn't it? The UK's been going holus bolus after teaching to the test.
And famously, Professor Alison Wolfe from King's London said that teaching to the test is like death and taxes. It will always be with us. However, in New Zealand, there are design features of NCEA which massively exacerbate the problem. And I identify those three things and make three recommendations that would mitigate some of that. So effectively, the recommendations trade in a small amount of NCEA's vast flexibility in return for a safety net to protect disadvantaged students from making ill-advised or immature decisions. And they trade in some flexibility in order to mitigate teaching to the test.
How? What are you recommending?
So the first two recommendations are about reintroducing the idea of a core curriculum that will raise expectations of all students. And I really think that is what we need to do to address what has been referred to in recent weeks as kind of unconscious teacher bias and all this kind of thing. I actually think if the NCEA system has unconscious bias in it, it's unfair to blame teachers. And then the second set of recommendations are about addressing those design features. And importantly, they will also improve teacher workload, which is a huge problem. I would much prefer that our teachers are spending their precious time planning and marking and delivering brilliant lessons rather than spending their time on assessment.
What are the details, though? Because another proposal, and we're seeing some schools doing it already, as this even before this review gets underway, is to simply stop assessing so much. One school we spoke to said, we're going to flag compulsorily doing or completing NCEA Level 1 for our 15-year-olds. We're going to concentrate on making sure they've got a really good quality Level 2 by the time they're at the end of their second year. That would seem to me to be a pretty straightforward shift that doesn't require throwing out babies and bathwater, or turning on its head the underlying approach here. How much change are you proposing?
So I'm certainly in favour of NCEA, and I want to keep the system because there are great advantages to its flexibility. As I say, we can trade a little bit of it in return for improvements in standards, improvements in equity, improvements in workload, and a reduction of teaching to the test. As for the scrapping year one in some schools, that's certainly a freedom that schools have, and some may take up. But it would be incompatible with our recommendations about raising core curriculum requirements to the age of 15 or 16 when children are in year 11.
So specifically, what would that core requirement safety net look like?
So what we're saying is that we should amend NCEA so that achieving at level one or higher requires a minimum number of level one credits in English or Tereo, and maths. And this new list of eligible standards must replace the current literacy and numeracy requirements, which are incredibly vague. All kinds of standards in performing arts and creating visual texts qualify for literacy standards.
Here we go again. The underlying philosophy of this is that across the curriculum you can demonstrate your competency. You're not sitting there doing your English class or your maths class and that's the only way you can be assessed. So straight away it's pushing back against the underlying philosophy, right?
Yeah, so it's a move of the pendulum. Education is full of spectrum. And this is one, and simply the recommendations in the report are suggesting a nudge in a slightly different direction to what brought us NCEA. And there's actually broad consensus. The teaching profession are tired of being of the over-assessment, of the workload implications, and they also recognise that children can and should be held to much higher expectations. I would repeat that Tertiary Education Commission research that 4 in 10 Year 12 students with Level 2 NCEA are not functionally literate and numerate.
So this is going to feed into the review?
It certainly is. We're delighted that we've been invited to be part of the Minister's reference group. And the terms of reference he's outlined, all of these recommendations are within scope. So we shall wait and see.
Thank you. Briar Lipson, the report is available online?
It certainly is.
The New Zealand Initiative. Thank you.